get ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk?
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 78. 78 of the report. Yeah, man. It's been about a week, and I'm back. And I'm back, man, post 4th of July episode of the Span Report, man. I hope you guys enjoyed your holiday. I really did. Because I really didn't. No, real talk, you man, Span, just chilled out. I just chilled out for the 4th of July, man. Didn't really do a whole hell of a lot. Chilled out here at home, did some pet sitting, and chilled out. And it was cool. It was cool. I got a chance to relax. I had a lot of days off. Well, more days than normal. It was a three-day weekend. But I got a chance to relax, rest my body a little bit. Got a chance to get out of the field and out of the public, so to speak, and just got a chance to kick back and rest my body, man, because my body feels beat down sometimes coming back home from work every now and again. So it was good to have that extended weekend and chill out and enjoy rest time. And yes, indeed, enjoy some rest time. And I do hope that everybody who had family reunions, everybody who had extended weekends, extended vacations, you guys enjoyed your 4th of July, man. Real talk, man. But yeah, man, just been chilling out, working, getting some overtime in. I got some overtime in today, you know, because your man Span need the bread. I need the bread. So I went to work today, man, and yeah, it was all right, but yeah, I still felt like I should have been at home. I woke up this morning thinking I want to take a nap as soon as I get home from work. So so yeah, that's how it went down, man. That's how it went down. But before we get into everything as far as the Span Report is concerned, of course, I got to let you guys know how you can get in touch with me here at the Span Report and let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I will play those messages on the show and, of course, respond to you in kind. You can also email the show at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails. I will read those emails on the show and, of course, respond to you on the show as well. You can also hit your man up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr_Span. So check me out on Twitter and on Instagram. Chop it up with your man throughout the week, and we can have some conversations there. Also, if you have any Ass Hat of the Week submissions, send them to asshat@thespanreport.com. Anything that you feel like is really, 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 really stupid and should be given some really good attention, send it to asshat@thespanreport.com and we'll talk about it on the show. All right. So, yeah, that's asshat@thespanreport.com. Also, you can hit me up and leave me a review. Leave me a review on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, preferably 5 stars. And I will read those reviews on the show. Leave a review on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and I will read those reviews on the show, preferably 5 stars. It really helps the show. It helps the show grow, and it spreads the word. It lets folks know what it is exactly that you're thinking about, what's going on here at the Span Report as well. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to thespanreport.com. Check out every episode of the podcast. Check out every video of the podcast, because we do the podcast live now. Check out every video. Check out every episode of any other show that I've ever been a guest on. Go to thespanreport.com. Check out your news, your culture, your technology, everything. And I am looking for contributors to thespanreport.com. So if you're interested in blogging, if you're interested in writing about news, if you're interested in getting your voice heard, hit me up at mister@thespanreport.com. Serious inquiries only. And we can get something put together to where you can be a contributor to thespanreport.com and get your voice out there and use it as a stepping stone to something probably bigger, right? So, yeah, man, go to SparingReport.com for all of your Sparing Report needs. Indeed. Yeah, man. Now, I was talking about the fourth. I was talking about the fourth before we got the business in and out of the way. It was a cool fourth to a certain degree, right? You know, I'm not real big on the whole fireworks thing. You know, I'm just not. Like, when I was a kid, it was all right. I remember one time I did something really stupid. I let a firecracker blow up in my hand. I'm lucky to still have my fingers and stuff like that. But, yeah, like, the fourth is, it's all right. But, like, we've had some relaxed fireworks laws here in Michigan, right? And with those relaxed fireworks laws, you know, folks have gone, you know, what they really tried to do was to prevent, Michiganders from going into Ohio and going into Indiana and going to buy their fireworks, which is what, you know, they weren't preventing anybody from actually having the fireworks. Folks would just go across the border, go buy their fireworks, and then bring them back home. So what they tried to do is they made a lot of the fireworks that they had previously deemed illegal, they made them legal, so that they can get some of that tax revenue off of the fireworks money. And pretty soon, I'm pretty sure they're going to have medical marijuana or just recreational marijuana here soon. I just know it's coming. But anyway, I'm getting sidetracked here. We're going to have what we had the fireworks laws, and the fireworks were being bought up throughout the year. You could buy fireworks here in Michigan throughout the year at car washes and everywhere else, right? And so the thing with fireworks for me has always been because of where I grown up, right? Your man Span come from the hood. I grew up in the ghetto, so I've become accustomed to gunshots, unfortunately, right? And the thing with the fireworks is that the fireworks sometimes can be mistaken for gunshots, and you really can't necessarily be sure as to whether or not somebody's really lighting fireworks or shooting at someone. Right now, I guess I shouldn't be so much worried about it as much because of where I live now, but you never really can tell, right? And so one of the things that kind of irritates me now about the fireworks is the fact that you have so many people who, I think it's like up to 5 days before the fireworks, or 5 days before the 4th of July, so many people need to or feel the need to let off their fireworks, right? They're firing off firecrackers, M80s, they're shooting off mortars, you know, like fireworks displays going off before the 4th, you know, like you being like June 30th and people are out there lighting fireworks, you know? And I guess it's okay to a certain degree, but I would kind of wish that they would only do that shit on the 4th. Real talk, like I really wish that folks who are going to participate or partake in having fireworks and using those fireworks, do that on the 4th, where it's actually, just, you know, because that's the day we're celebrating, right? We're supposed to be celebrating the independence of the United States of America from tyranny, from the British monarchy and everything else. That's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the 4th. The 4th of July is the holiday, right? So for folks to be firing off fireworks 5 days prior to and 5 days afterwards is a bit annoying, right? So when you got to get up on Monday morning at like 6:30, you got to be at work at 7:30, 6:30 in the morning, and you got a neighbor who's letting off fireworks at about 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night on a Sunday evening, it's like, come on, dude, you should have had your grand finale on the 4th. Right? You would hope that somebody had a grand finale, like all the fireworks that you bought throughout the year, we want you to have the most epic fireworks extravaganza on the 4th of July. And after the 4th of July, we're done with fireworks for the year. Unless it's somebody's birthday or something like that and you want to impress somebody, right? At least that's what we want. At least that's what I want, right? And I know I'm being a bit selfish in that way, but yeah, man, it's annoying. It's annoying, man, to have people letting off fireworks on July 7th at 10 o'clock at night. And it's like, dude, really? Come on, man. Come on, we're not celebrating anymore. You're just being an asshole right now. All right. So yeah, man, fireworks. I would hope that most of you would use them on the 4th. That's what I would hope. I would hope most of you use them on the 4th. But And hopefully some changes to the law will come, because I know I'm not the only one who was a bit upset about the way that folks were using the fireworks. I know a lot has been made about folks who were veterans. A lot of veterans were coming back home, and you know they're living in these neighborhoods, and they're subject to they're suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome, and folks are letting off their fireworks. Regardless to how these folks are dealing with it, regardless to how your pet may have to deal with it, you know, sometimes folks can be a little bit entitled. Sometimes folks can be a little bit inconsiderate. But I would hope that after the fourth, man, like they set up, they put into the law, like, look, man, after the fourth, man, fuck that. Leave that stuff alone, man. Save it for the next 4th of July. If you didn't let off all of your fireworks on your 4th of July, save those until next year. Have a bigger and better fireworks display for your family next year. All right. Yeah, man. But not only that, sometimes with the fireworks, folks can tend to not exactly exercise the greatest amount of common sense. There was a man from, I think it's Callis, Maine. I think that's how you pronounce it. His name is Devin Staples. Devin Staples, a 22-year-old man from Callis, Maine, set off a mortar, strapped a mortar to the top of his head, and let it go. Here's the story.
Party in Callis when things took a turn for the worst. Moses says he and his girlfriend left the party just before it happened.
He said that it felt like somebody was pushing her, so I don't know. She thinks it was her great-grandfather watching over her.
22-year-old Staples died around 10 o'clock Saturday night after state police say he set a firework off on the top of his head. The explosion killed him instantly. It's the first fireworks-related death since fireworks became legal in Maine 3 years ago.
Well, we do have an ordinance here in the city of Callis that we follow, and that's just for the use thereof as far as when you can and the situations around it. But outside of that, it's on the consumer. They got to be very careful.
Police say Staples was drinking at a friend's home on South Street.
There's a reason why it goes boom. It's not just a benign piece of fun. It's truly dangerous, and it does go boom, unfortunately.
Moses says the world is losing a smart, kind young man.
Playing airsoft when we were younger, pretty young. I was like probably like 7 or 8 when I first came over here. And they were my first friends on the street. So.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I wouldn't necessarily call that guy the smartest guy in the world, but it is unfortunate that someone lost their life due to not exactly exercising the caution needed using these fireworks, man. And yeah, it's unfortunate. But it's also at the same time like, dude, come on, man. We shouldn't be talking about anybody losing their life over, you know what, I'm going to strap a mortar to my head and let it go. I'm going to just let it go boom on top of my head and think that nothing is going to happen. But, yeah, man, alcohol and fireworks do not mix. And hopefully after July 5th, fireworks don't mix on that day as well, man. But that was real messed up what happened to Devin Staples, man. Real talk. Sorry to hear about that. Sorry for his family. But, yeah, man, got to be careful with these fireworks. Hopefully. We can get some more regulations as far as those fireworks are concerned. Because, yeah, I mean, they can be a bit dangerous. They can also be fun, but they can be dangerous as well, right? So, yeah, that's our public service announcement for the day. Real talk. Now, another thing I wanted to talk about, man. And honestly, I didn't necessarily really think to... this wasn't something that was really on my radar until maybe a couple days ago, right? We're talking about Kid Rock, right? Kid Rock, as you all know, he's from Romeo, Michigan. I know a lot of folks talk about Kid Rock being from Detroit, and he's a Detroit native and everything else. Kid Rock is from Romeo, Michigan. And Kid Rock is a performer. He usually does maybe like country rock, country blues. He started off being a rapper, right? And, Kid Rock is in the news right now because Kid Rock wants to use the Confederate flag, and he's caught some flack considerably because of what's going on with the Confederate flag as it is right now, right? All of the controversy and all of the attention that is being paid to the Confederacy and the Confederate flag and its use, especially after Dylann Roof went into a Charleston church and killed 9 people in an attempt to incite a race war. And he also used that symbol as a rallying cry, right? And so, you know, a lot of folks from the South, especially a lot of white people from the South, they use that symbol and they try to talk about it being a symbol of their heritage. We're proud of our heritage. We're proud of where we're from. It does not mean hate, you know, to us, you know. We don't mean it in a hateful way. This is just us being proud of where we're from, right? That's where you'll get that, you know, that explanation from a lot of folks, right? But then you go into the history of why there is a such thing as the Confederacy and the Confederate flag and the Confederate battle flag, which is what is typically being used in state legislatures or on state houses such as South Carolina. And I think there's a part of it being used in the Alabama state flag also, right? But the state of Alabama has decided to bring that flag down, right? And the National Action Network, the chapter of the National Action Network, which is Al Sharpton's organization, has called for Kid Rock, who is a Detroit area native, to stop using the Confederate flag as part of his performances and in his shows, right? So in response to those who would disagree with Kid Rock about his use of the Confederate flag, he had this to say.
He has shared with us a message for those who are demanding that he denounce the Confederate flag. And this is a quote. He said, please tell the people who are protesting to, quote, kiss my ask me some questions. I
love it.
That
Megan, they need to ask how many people the Confederate flag killed, how many black lives were lost in Chicago over July 4th weekend because of the Confederate flag.
Yeah, good question. Dana, always great to see you.
Thank you, Megan.
Shout out to Dana Loesch for talking about some shit that had absolutely nothing to do with the topic of conversation. And we're talking about the Confederate flag. And it's funny how Chicago is always an example of what they want to talk about when we talk about crime. And of course, we know crime is actually down by damn near 50%, but they don't necessarily talk about that. But that you know what? Now I'm being sidetracked, right? So we're talking about Kid Rock, and we're talking about the fact that he wants to continue to use a Confederate flag. He wants to continue to use it. He tells everyone who has an issue with him using this flag to kiss his ass, right? And, you know, to a certain degree, you can appreciate his wanting to exercise his First Amendment rights, right? All fine and good. But at the same time, you also have to respect the fact that folks also have the right to disagree with you and call you out on your bullshit when they want to as well, right? That's part of the whole thing of freedom of speech. You have the right to express yourself, but other folks have the right to express themselves as well, right? And one of the things that I find interesting about Kid Rock and his use of the Confederate flag and his shows, and you know, he's one of those people who talks about whether it's Southern heritage and everything else. Like, dude, you were born in a Union state. You were born in a Union state. You're from the North, right? That flag doesn't necessarily have a connection with you, except maybe, well, I take that back. Maybe it's a familial thing, right? But when you think about the history of the Confederacy and why there was ever such thing as a Confederacy, we know that the Confederate states wanted to secede from the Union. And why did they want to secede from the Union? They wanted to have the right to have slaves. The Civil War was fought because the South wanted to keep their slaves. Their slaves were an economic powerhouse for the South. The North did not want to continue to have slaves, or did not want them to continue to have slavery in the form in which it was currently implemented in that time, right? So you have a civil war being fought for the right to keep human beings as property. Chattel slavery. You want to have these human beings as property. You don't even see them as human beings. And this flag was a representative of those who wanted to keep that status quo in place, right? So today, and this is why I say this really wasn't on my radar at first. Today, I'm having a discussion with someone who, again, I'm having a lot of discussions with people around, like around my circle that are kind of fucked up. And I'm starting to look at people in certain ways where I'm like, I'm losing respect for a lot of folks because y'all got a real warped way of looking at the world. And it's headache inducing, right? So I'm having this discussion with this guy. I'm not going to name him here. I already screenshotted a picture of him on my Facebook. If you're not my friend on Facebook, I'm sorry. But we're having this discussion and he's talking about him knowing people who know Kid Rock, right? Because Kid Rock is, you know, he's been to Detroit or he's been around Detroit for quite some time. So I know people who know Kid Rock and Kid Rock isn't a racist. All right, that's fine. Kid Rock may not be a racist. But you want to know how you kind of avoid being in conversations where folks may think that you're a racist? You don't revere racist iconography, right? You don't associate yourself with racists. You know that whole thing about birds of a feather flock together? You don't associate with those who may be seen as racist from the larger society, right? You don't espouse racist ideology, right? It doesn't take a brain surgeon to know that these basic principles can keep you from being seen as a racist, right? So when Kid Rock goes on and he talks about everybody needs to kiss his ass because they don't necessarily agree with him using this symbol that is also used by the KKK currently as a symbol of hate, then I'm kind of wondering where your head is at if you don't see anything wrong with that. And if you don't see anything wrong with him not saying, hey, maybe I might be messing up here. Maybe I might need to check myself. But instead, there's people, black folks, caping for this. The same way that, like, these same folks were caping for Rachel Dolezal, too. Let's just put that out there. These same folks were caping for Rachel Dolezal, too. Some of y'all, I wish y'all would cape for black folks as hard as y'all cape for some of these white folks that are out here fucking up. I really wish y'all would. I really wish y'all would. Call it to the carpet. Call it for what it is. Stop giving passes for a lot of this stuff, right? So I was told to do research. He's like, well, you need to research Kid Rock. I'm like, well, you need to research what the Confederacy and what the Confederate flag meant and why there was a Confederacy to begin with. And if you understand why folks were upset with Kid Rock, then you wouldn't be making this argument with me right now, right? So one of the things that kind of come up with Kid Rock is, you know, Kid Rock has a biracial child, right? Folks bring that up. You know, Kid Rock can't be racist. Kid Rock is from Detroit. I've seen this today. Kid Rock is from Detroit. Detroit is a primarily black city. Kid Rock can't be racist. He's got a black kid, a half black kid. Kid Rock can't be racist. Bullshit. You know who else had a black kid? Strom Thurmond had a black kid. Strom Thurmond was a United States senator. Racist United States senator, right? And Strom Thurmond had a daughter by a woman who worked as a domestic in his home. His parents hired a domestic. She was 16 years old at the time. Strom Thurmond was 22 at the time. And he fathered a daughter with the help, pretty much. He fathered a daughter with the help in his home, right? Here's Strom Thurmond's thoughts about black folks.
There's not enough troops in the army to force the southern people to break down segregation and admit the Negro race into our theaters, into our swimming pools, into our homes, and into our churches. There's not enough troops in the army to force the southern people to break down segregation and admit the Negro race into our theaters, into our spring pools, into our homes, and into our churches.
All right. That was Strom Thurmond talking about not integrating pools, not integrating movie theaters, not integrating anything, and basically including the nigger race into anything American in this society, right? Strom Thurmond was a United States senator. His daughter just died, I believe it was 2 years ago. What's her name? Essie May. Hold on, I got it right here somewhere. Essie May Washington Williams. She died, I believe, in 2013. She was 87 years old when she died. At the time, when Strom Thurmond was making that speech, he had a black daughter. So we can't get into this whole line of thinking that just because somebody is cool with black folks in a certain space, that they can't have racist views or they can't espouse racist ideology. That's dumb. That's dumb to even think that, right? You know who else also had a really racist perspective? Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson, one of the founding fathers of the United States of America, some people think he's one of the greatest thinkers of our time, or one of the greatest thinkers that America has ever known, right? Thomas Jefferson was also a slave owner. Thomas Jefferson also fathered children with a woman that he owned, Sally Hemings, right? He fathered children with Sally Hemings, even though he owned slaves. So this whole idea that just because a white man has children with a black woman that he can't therefore have racist ideas in his head, that he can't espouse racist ideology, that he can't identify with racism and have the power to actually execute on it, is dumb. If you don't understand the history, I get it. But if you don't want to understand the history and why folks would look at something that Kid Rock is doing at this particular moment in time to say, hey, dude, you fucking up. You need to change this, and this is why. If you're looking at all these people who are telling Kid Rock that, hey, man, you messing up, and this is why you're doing it, you looking at them like they screwing up, something's wrong with you, dude. Something's wrong with you. And then on top of that, you know what? That's kind of personal. I'm not going to air my man out. I'm not going to do it. But it's one of those things, man, where we start seeing folks making excuses for the inexcusable. You don't have to make these sort of excuses for these people. They're not going to make those same excuses for you. I woke up this morning and I'm on my Facebook. It was like one of the first things I saw this morning. And it was an article about people shitting on the flag, right? It was like shit on the American flag challenge or something like that that was going around. I saw that this morning, and I saw this woman who went on this racist screed about black folks killing each other, about we need to, you know, if we don't like it, we can get out of the country, that black folks need to learn how to shoot, that cracker is ironically racist, but, you know, black people use it and it comes from the whip and the crack of the whip on black people's back. Real crazy stuff. Woke up this morning reading racism. Can't escape it. So when folks are telling Kid Rock, if Kid Rock really gave a damn about what the people of Detroit really thought, or if he thought about what his kid's mom or what his son may have to deal with, because folks who look at his son and use that exact same symbol would think of his son as a nigger and will kill him in a minute, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. Kid Rock would say, you know what? I messed up. I'm sorry. My bad. I won't use it again. Right? But to say that Kid Rock is racist, yeah, he could be. I wouldn't say that he is. But you can't say that you don't understand why folks would think that Kid Rock is racist when he's walking around with racist ideology, or I'm sorry, racist iconography, and acting like everything is cool. Like, it's just a thing. Like, this is just Southern pride. Like, dude, the Southern pride was, yo, we're going to keep these niggas in chains. And that's why folks are upset. And really, dude, I can't see how anybody else would walk away from that, knowing what that symbol means for a lot of people, and think that it's just all right. Like, we could be cool with that. But that same dude walking around talking about he don't mind white folks calling him nigga. But that's another thing in and of itself, man. Yeah, man. Another thing too, as far as, especially dealing with this Confederacy, the controversy surrounding the Confederate flag, and even with Kid Rock, right? Because we talk about whether or not Kid Rock can be racist and everything else, and Kid Rock has these black friends, right? Because this is what this guy was telling me, like, yo, I know people who know Kid Rock. He ain't racist, right? You know who else thought that somebody wasn't racist? Dylann Roof had a black friend, yo. Dylann Roof went into a church in South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, and killed 9 black people in an attempt to incite a race war. His black friend gets on TV with the BBC and says this dumb shit.
What's your reaction to the news about Dylann?
That he actually did everything he said he was going to do. And I don't feel no different today than I felt about him before he did this stuff. Like I said, who's to say Dylann was in his right mind? Nobody knows what anybody go through.
Was Dylann ignorant? Was he racist?
No. Like, everybody's making him out to be racist, but here I am in front of you today as a black man and telling you I look at him no different today than what I looked at him last week. Because he never said anything racist to me, never treated me any different than he treated Justin.
You said at the beginning of the interview that at one point he might have said something, but you didn't remember it. What did you mean by that?
Like, he told us that he was not, that church wasn't his primary target at all. That's why my heart goes out to those 9 families, because you guys weren't the targets.
What does that mean?
He wanted to shoot that school up, UCA, University of Charleston. It's 3 miles up the street from that church.
He told you.
Yeah,
he wanted to attack the school.
Yeah, he had no intentions on harming those people in that church.
Can you just tell me more about when he told you this?
We're on our way to the river. It was on a Wednesday because we dropped them off at the lake. So he was like, he's going to shoot the school up. And I was like, what? And he just stopped talking about it. He never said anything else about it. He was just like, they all got 7 days to live. Who knows? Like, how many friends do you have that's killed 9 people within this week? So how do you take it serious?
As close as possible, can you remember what words he used to say what he said?
I'm gonna shoot the university up. And they all got 7 days to live. And on Wednesday he did it. He shot that church up.
Did he give you a reason as to why he said he might want to do that?
No reason. I think it all boils down to his childhood. Him and his parents aren't on good terms. Like I said, without the support of your parents, you'll do things that you wouldn't think you'd do.
When he mentioned the school, did he have a grudge against the school in the past or anything like that?
I don't even know if he knew anybody at the school. Like, he had no grudge. He wasn't an angry person.
And he never mentioned the church before either?
Never. Like, I've never heard him say anything racist. I've never heard him say anything about hurting black people, and specifically black people only. Not once.
All right. Now, newsflash, people. Just because your white friends doesn't say anything racist around you doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have a fucked up opinion about you or your people. Now, that's not to say that all white folks are racist, because we know they aren't. But to act as if it's not possible for that to happen because they didn't express these things with you, the object of their hate, is dumb. You sound dumb. Simple. Don't act as if you don't have the ability to think for yourself and say, hey, you know what, man? I don't know. He's kind of strange, right? He just talked about killing 9. He just talked about shooting up at school. I didn't take it serious. He just talked about shooting. Well, we know he shot 9 people. They weren't his target, but come on, man. Who takes that serious? How many of you really want to sound just like this guy here? How many of you really want to sound like that guy? You walk around and folks look at you like, damn, you sound just like that stupid nigga that was on the TV before. That was talking about this white boy not shooting up the church. Oh, he wasn't racist. He wasn't racist around me. Come on, man. Come on. I'm going to need y'all to be a little bit more... a little bit more, use your head for a little bit more than hanging your hat on, man. It's got to be something in between those ears. And again, I'm not saying that Kid Rock is racist. I have yet to say that Kid Rock is racist. I'm saying that Kid Rock needs to distance himself from this racist iconography, right? That's all I'm saying. He needs to distance himself from that if he doesn't want to be seen as a racist with all the other races who use that symbol. It's as simple as that. It's not rocket science. It's as simple as that. And I don't get why some of y'all are caping so hard for these white folks who don't give a damn about you. They won't cape for you that way. I have yet to see Kid Rock cape for you in the same way that you caping for him. It's almost like with the folks who was talking about Rachel Dolezal, like, oh, she did so much work for the black community and can't nobody name a damn thing she did for the black community. Come on, man. Use your head for more than just hanging your hat on. Stop that, man. Real talk. And I'm done with that. I'm done with that. I'm going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about we're going to talk about Bill Cosby, man. We're going to talk about Bill Cosby. Hold on a second. Yeah, now. Bill Cosby admitted in 2005 to using Quaaludes to have sex with a woman. A woman, right? Because that was the only person who we admitted it to using it on in this deposition that came out in 2005. A woman, right? But we know that over 30 women have come out and accused Bill Cosby of using drugs to induce to have sex with them while they were knocked out. Right? So it isn't far-fetched that Bill Cosby could have possibly used these drugs on them as well. It isn't far-fetched. And I've done, I don't know, maybe two or three shows we talked about this topic. We had me and Mr. Gates, we did an Art of Disagreement episode about this topic. Shout out to my homie Mr. Gates. He's coming out with another Haterati radio show this weekend, so check that out. But we talked about this on the Art of Disagreement. Mr. Gates was on the side of, he thought it was a conspiracy. I'm on the side of, yo, he did that. And this is leading towards evidence that he did that, right? Bill Cosby admitted to having or to using Quaaludes to have sex with a woman, right? And it's one of those things where you don't really feel good about being right about that, right? Because even in the sense of wanting to say, "Hey, I told y'all," at the same time, it's like, "Yo, that's still messed up." It's still unfortunate that it was this guy who became a moral authority on how black folks were to behave. He became a moral authority on how we are to behave in America, how we are to be seen in America. And here you have this dude engaging in criminal activity for decades, or allegedly criminal activity for decades. Right. And so in this deposition, Cosby admitted to it. He said he had multiple prescriptions for Quaaludes in the 70s and 80s, and that he used these Quaaludes to have sex, right? So here I'm actually going to read from the deposition concerning the Quaaludes. And on this deposition, it says that after the defendant testified that he obtained 7 prescriptions for Quaaludes, the following testimony was elicited. Question, you gave them to other people? His answer was yes. The question, you gave those drugs to other people knowing that it was, he said, I gave it to T right now. He said other people. He did say other people. Knowing that it was illegal. That was another question that was given to Mr. Cosby. Knowing that it was illegal. His lawyer stepped in and said, whatever the legality of it is, it will stand. I'm instructing him not to answer. He gave the Quaaludes. If it was illegal, the courts will determine that. Right. Another question was, did you ever get another prescription for Quaaludes from another doctor after that time? This was in the 70s. And Bill Cosby said no. Another question that was presented to him was, who are the people you gave the Quaaludes to? His lawyer said, keep it to the Jane Does. I'm not going beyond it. I'm instructing him not to answer it beyond the Jane Does. Now that's more Does, as in more than one person. Another question that was asked of Cosby, when you got the Quaaludes, was it in your mind that you were going to use these Quaaludes for young women that you wanted to have sex with? Bill Cosby said yes. Did you ever give any of those young women the Quaaludes without their knowledge? And his lawyer objected to the question, restricted to the Jane Does, would you please? Now again, Jane Does, more than one, right? And again, it's one of those things where you don't necessarily want to be right about Bill Cosby raping chicks, knocking them out so he can do what he wants to them. You don't want to be right about that. Like, who really feels good about saying, hey, man, damn, Bill Cosby is out here really raping these chicks. And nobody feels good about that, especially when you saying like, damn, man, like, yo, I grew up on the Cosby Show. I wanted to go to a historically black college or university because of Bill Cosby. Even though Hillman College was a fictional thing, it made me want to go to school. It made me want to go to an HBCU. I saw all of those shirts that he wore promoting HBCUs throughout the 80s and 90s when I was growing up, man. I wanted to go to Tennessee State. I wanted to go to Hampton. I wanted to go to FAMU. I wanted to go to Howard. I wanted to go to Harry Medical College. I wanted to do all of these things because Bill Cosby put it in my head that that was possible and that was something that I needed to do. Who wants to be right about Bill Cosby drugging women to have sex with him? Right? Nobody wants to be right about that. And so, for a lot of his victims, they feel vindicated, right? For a lot of the women who've come forth, again, like I said, I done lost count as to how many women have come forward up to this point. We know it's over 30. Some have estimated that number up to like maybe 40. I'm not sure. But we know a lot of women have come forward with the exact same, well, or similar stories about him using them waking up and being unclothed and everything else in the presence of Bill Cosby, right? They don't remember what happened beforehand. And I remember when this story really blew up, we had a lot of folks who were saying like, well, we know, like, maybe Bill Cosby's a freak. Maybe he wasn't raping them. You know, it was a free time. You know, it was the 70s. It was the 80s, you know. It was a lot of free sex and free love and all of this other stuff going on. Everybody was on drugs. You know, it was free time. You know, that was the way that everybody did things back in the day. Excusing rape to a certain degree. Excusing it. You're like, well, this is how they did things back in the day. You know, marriages used to be arranged back in the day. We don't do that shit no more. We think it's we don't look too highly of it. Arranged marriages. We don't look too highly of people messing around with kids. Kids used to get married back in the day too. We don't look too highly on that action anymore. So, given it the excuses that, well, that was what they was doing at the time, you know, it was just like, hell, everybody got high, everybody was screwing up, you know what I'm saying? When Bill Cosby has set himself up as moral authority on everything that is blackness and how folks are to behave themselves and how they are to conduct themselves, when you have someone who has put themselves in that sort of position, he better be straight when it comes to folks looking at how he came up and how he presents himself and how he conducts himself as a human being and as a man, right? Got to think about that kind of stuff, right? So, in the midst of, you know, this news coming out, I remember I made a joke earlier this week because to a certain degree for a lot of folks, the defense of Bill Cosby is about racial solidarity, right? They're willing to overlook rape because it's Bill Cosby and white folks are after him. They're willing to overlook the fact that it was rape because it was Bill Cosby and Bill Cosby is black. We've seen this this sort of phenomenon before with O.J. Simpson. Well, you know, when black folk, when O.J. got off for the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman, black folks were celebrating across the country. It was like, yo, we got off. We got off. Like, no, OJ got off, but black folks across America was celebrating because it's like, yo, finally somebody got off on this system. We were due for one. Even though he may have done it, we were due for this one. So with Bill Cosby, it's like you have this racial solidarity thing where folks don't want to believe it. One, because they believe Cliff Huxtable is a real person and they believe that he practically raised them. Right? Cliff Huxtable practically raised them. Cliff Huxtable is not a real person. But a lot of folks have that connection. That man practically raised me. I didn't have my father at home. I watched him and I grew up with that family. So to see him in this particular state or to see people making these sort of accusations about him, yeah, I'm a little messed up about it. I don't want to believe that. So you got a lot of that. And then two, yo, man, it's a conspiracy to get him, man. He was coming out with a new TV show. He was coming out with a new comedy special that he tried to buy NBC and they real mad that he tried to do that. But none of those things explain his actions. None of them explain his actions. I had a buddy of mine Ask me, have I ever bought drinks for a woman to get her drunk to have sex with her? And my answer is no. I've never done it. But I'm not stupid enough, or I'm not naive to think that it isn't done regularly. It happens a lot, which is why I'm scared for my daughter when she gets older, right? Because it happens so often. I'll tell you guys the story about when I was in college one time, right? I was in Tennessee State. And I remember going to a party. It was a party at one of a friend of mine. He had a nice little set. It was in his apartment. Me and a couple of my guys, we showed up. It's already a bunch of people at this party. And they're playing questions, right? And you remember I don't know if any of you who are not familiar with the game questions, the game is simply you ask a bunch of questions. It's an unbroken chain of questions. If you answer the question, you take a shot. If you stumble, you take a shot, right? So everybody's playing questions. But one of the first things that I noticed when I got there was that the women were drinking off of one bottle and the dudes were drinking off of another. The women were drinking off of Hennessy, right? The dudes had a bottle of vodka. All right, I saw that. I noticed it. Hadn't said nothing at the time. So we playing the game questions, and I mess up. I answer the question. Somebody asked me something and messed me up. I answered the question. It's my turn to take a shot. And I take my shot, and it's a bottle of Absolut. But it wasn't Absolut in that bottle. It was water. So I'm taking my shot and I'm looking at the shot glass, and then I look up because I'm like, yo, I'm getting ready to this ain't. And all of the dudes in the room looking at me like, nah, man, don't say nothing. Hold on. So the dudes is taking shots of water. The women in the room are taking shots of Hennessy. And I don't even want to be there now. I don't want to be there now because I know what's going on. Y'all trying to get these chicks drunk so y'all can take advantage of them. That's what's going on. And I don't want no parts of that. Y'all not going to have me up in no police station saying, yo, Span, rape me. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't want any parts of that. So me and my guys, we left. So I understand that it happens all of the time. And I'm scared for my daughter when she gets older. And hopefully I can have that conversation with her where she can kind of be privy to some of the tricks and the trade that a lot of these dudes are going to use to try to take advantage of a situation where she really has to be on guard for a lot of that kind of stuff, right? So the idea of Bill Cosby using Quaaludes to have sex with women and using this multiple times, you have 40 women, up to 40 women saying that Bill Cosby did this to me, and you got dudes making light of it, right? I made a joke on Twitter. I said, you know what? I bet $10 that Tariq Nasheed gets on here and says that, yo, Bill Cosby buying Quaaludes is a white supremacist conspiracy. Because dudes believe that. Dudes believe that. Dudes will sit up in here and try to say, yo, man, it's a conspiracy. Stay woke. They try to distract you from something else, as if we can't pay attention to multiple things at the same time, as if we can't be concerned about multiple things at the same time. Don't get it twisted. We can do this and. It doesn't necessarily always have to be at this or that. You can be concerned about multiple things at the same time. Don't ever let anybody fool you into thinking that, yo, if you talking about this at the moment, that you don't care about something else. Faison Love did that this week. Faison Love did that, right? Faison Love has been one of those folks, and I know a lot of you may remember Faison Love from, Friday, Couples Retreat. It's been in a few movies, right? Not one of the brightest bulbs in the box. Not one of the sharpest knives in the drawer, Faison Love. Now, when it came out that Bill Cosby admitted 10 years ago that he had used Quaaludes to drug women to have sex with them, Faison Love got on Twitter and he said things like, Why y'all worried about that bullshit, but not worried about what's going on now? You kill me with this shit. This white boy walks into a church, kills 9 people. You not mad at that, but this upsets you. Fuck y'all. Now, obviously, Faison Love believes that if you mad at this, that you can't also be mad at the other. When you can be also mad, you can be mad at both of these things. Right? Faison Love operates under this false ultimatum sort of thinking. We're like, well, if you're talking about this, then obviously you don't care about that. It's like, no, that's not how this works, dude. That's not how this works. I can actually be upset about both. I am upset about both. But because you're wrong on this particular issue and you don't have the testicular fortitude to think about it and say, hey, I was wrong on this. Yeah, man, fuck everybody else, right? Everybody else is wrong except you. Everybody else is looking at this wrong except you. Come on, dude. Come on, man. He also goes on to say, like, he talked about, he put out a tweet to this one sister, Miss P. Cutie. He says, black women and black children been raped for years, but this is what you choose to fucking take to heart. Slaves. You monkey niggas love your master and repeat everything out his mouth, so please keep it up, new slaves. Now, again, I talked about it before. Folks are actually using this Bill Cosby thing as racial solidarity, that if you talk anything bad about Bill Cosby, then all of a sudden you ain't black no more. If you hold Bill Cosby accountable for what it was that he did, your blackness is null and void. And that's what's messed up. I can't be black because I don't want a dude out here raping chicks. I can't be black because I'm going to talk about, hey, that's messed up. That's the kind of thinking that's going on out here. I can't be black. Like, my blackness is being questioned. Same thing was happening with Empire, man. You like Empire, man. You a sellout, man. You can't be watching that show and still think you a black man. They perpetuating stereotypes. Come on, man. Talk about that respectability politics and all that other stuff, too. We've gone on at length about that also on this show. So, here's an example of a person using Bill Cosby as a litmus test on your blackness if you hold him accountable for him going out here raping chicks. It's like, yo, did the Illuminati make Bill Cosby buy these Quaaludes? Was it the Illuminati who made him slip these chicks, Mickeys? That's who it was? You know, because a lot of folks are looking at it like, hey, man, why are they talking about it now? Why didn't it come out years ago? Like, understand that a lot of folks, even now to this day, part of the reason why women don't come forward is because nobody believes them. Nobody believes them. This man has sat here in a court of law and admitted to using Quaaludes on women to have sex with them. I mean, you still sitting here talking about some, well, he probably still didn't do what she wanted it still. You still talking about that. You still think that they had a choice in that matter, even though he admitted to this. This is why women don't come forward when they have sex. They've been sexual or victims of sexual assault. They become the one who gets scrutinized. They become who you guys look at. You start wondering, you start trying to make it out as to why it has to be her fault that she was in that situation. Why was she in his room? Why did she have that on? And never ask this motherfucker, why was he raping her? Why are you doing that? Why aren't you holding this dude accountable for that? So, yeah. 40 women accuse this dude of the same thing. He admits to it. And you still got folks walking around talking about some he probably didn't do it. And you wonder why women have trouble coming forward for sexual assault. You wonder why it takes them years to come forward to talk about what happened to them. So, I mean, yeah, man, it's... I mean, Jill Scott came forward and she finally said, you know what, it took Bill Cosby to admit this, for her to finally come out and say, hey, yeah, he probably did this. Never mind the fact that there were women who said, yo, this happened. Like, that's another thing, too. Like, 40 people coming to you saying the same thing happened to them wasn't enough for you. 40 women coming forward saying the same thing happened to them wasn't enough for you. It took for him to say in a deposition under oath that, yes, this is what I was doing before anybody even, well, not before anybody, but before a select group of people to say, hey, maybe he did do this. Maybe he did do this. So, yeah, man. Yeah, that is, yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, it's mentally exhausting. It's mentally exhausting to a certain degree to listen to and to talk to a lot of folks about some of these topics, because it's like, it's so far in denial where you start suspending your, you start suspending your common sense and start going off into all of these other realms of what ifs. And you can deal with what's right there in front of you, right in your face right now. People say, stay woke, don't sleep. And they sleep on the stuff that's right staring them right in their face. Sleep on it right in their face, man. So, yeah. Yeah, man, it's crazy. But, yeah, I'm done talking about that. I'm done talking about that. It's time for the listener feedback portion of the show. And I got a couple email. Well, I got an email from, let's see, who's this email from? This email is from Reggie. And Reggie writes in and say, hey, Spam, what's good with you, bro? I just had a chance to listen to episode 77 of the show. And let me tell you, I don't know how you were able to endure that level of inconsistency, irrationality, and flat out ignorance and not lose it, man. That dude Cam, his wait, I'm sorry. That was a level of patience I haven't seen in quite some time. That dude Cam, I don't know what the hell was going on with him. But if damn sure made a good for a good podcast and helped me get through my last 2 hours on the job, my dude. So your sacrifice is noted and appreciated. Keep doing your thing and I'll keep listening. Thank you for writing in, Reggie. Well, here's the thing. And like I said, me and Cam. I've known Cam since we were kids, man. Like we were in the same class, right? I think third and fifth grade. I know we were in the fifth grade together, right? So I've known Cam for a long time. We don't kick it on a regular. We basically keep our interactions to Facebook, but I've known Cam for a long time, and I'm gonna tell you guys this. Cam's line of thinking used to be mine, right? I used to think the exact same way. For a long time, it took a long time for me to kind of come around to garner a different level of understanding on the topic of gay marriage and homosexuality and everything else. I used to have the exact same line of thinking on that issue that Cam had. I've got a video right now on YouTube that I kept up because it was a reminder of what I used to be, right, and how I used to think. I kept that video up. And on top of that, you know, a lot of folks try to play gotcha and everything. It's like, yo, man, this is what he used to say. He's saying this, now he's saying that, as if folks aren't able to, you know, change their mind when they have a better or a different understanding, right? So when it came to Cam and that conversation, I exercised a lot of patience with that because I understand that that's how I used to think. And folks don't necessarily come... folks don't necessarily come to a level of understanding at the same time or on your timetable, right? So, and I do believe that I exercised a bit more patience with Cam because I know Cam. For someone else who I don't know, I might not have necessarily exercised that much restraint or exercised that level of patience because I wanted Cam to understand what it was I was saying. I really did want him to see how foolish it was what he was saying. Now, whether he got it or not, I don't think he did at the end of the day. I don't think Cam really walked away from that conversation with, I don't think he walked away from that conversation with a mind changed. But at the same time, it comes at different times for people. He may come to that understanding at a different point in his life. I might not be the person who is the one who changes his mind. Hopefully that conversation though put a bug in his ear and made him think, you know, made him think more about what it is that he was really sitting on my show espousing, right? So I'm glad that you got something out of that conversation, man. I'm glad that it was able to help you get out of your last two hours of work or whatever. And I appreciate you writing in, brother. Real talk, man. Thank you for listening to the show. Also, let me see if I can pull these up here because I actually had a few comments on YouTube for that show. Let me see if I can pull these up real quick. Just a second, people. My computer is acting really slow at the moment. Yeah. I got way too many tabs open for the second. Hold on just a minute. This is what happens when you podcast live. Okay. Come on, man. The Span Report. Pull it up. Okay. I don't want this audio to play, so let me pause that real quick. And we'll go down to the comments section. And yeah, there's a few comments here from the homie Phenom Black from the Where's My 40 Acres podcast. And Phenom wrote in to say, this fear of marriage becoming completely ridiculous in its application because two consenting gay adults want to marry is so far-fetched and stupid. This dude has no idea what he is talking about. Minors not being able to be married is not because of religion, especially when there are religious practices that marry off minors all the time. Yeah, they are. A lot of times there's a lot of arranged marriages where the kids are just married off to somebody for a financial arrangement. Like we talked about that earlier today about, arranged marriages. Another comment from Phenom Black says, this dude is against gay marriage and had the nerve to say, who are we to judge? Phenom also wrote in to say, gay marriage and incest are not the same. Stop trying to put them in the same boat, bruh. Jesus. Phenom wrote in again to say, this boy can't make a sound argument in favor of being a bigot. Fox News at least knows they're ridiculous and go all out with the ridiculousness to confuse you. This kid actually think he's gonna find that, see, gay marriage is bad, key, and he ain't. let's see. Phenom again writes in to say, so if a man and a woman want to marry, there is this understanding that only them marrying is the right way. But if same-sex couples want to marry, now everything gonna want to marry, because understanding and accepting gay people means we've all lost our minds and the sanctity of marriage has been tainted. Just say you don't like gay people, bro. Jesus. How many ways can you slander a people while acting like you don't have an issue with them? Another, like, again, Phenom was a bit upset on this show. He says, so gay people got all the rights, huh? Ain't no prejudice against gays now. Glad has saved all the gays from discrimination. Another comment from Phenom. Oh, and when they say, and when they were beating the hell out of black people during the civil rights era, it wasn't actually legal. They just didn't enforce the law. Same thing they did to gay bashers in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Last comment by Phenom. Oh, it isn't the last comment by Phenom. But he says, you can't say that letting gay people marry will open the door for incest and marriage of minors, statutory rape, or pedophilia, and then say, I'm not saying I don't like gay people or calling them nasty. Yeah. It was a lot going on that show, man. It was a lot going on. And Candy writes in and says, writes in to say that Christians are whiners. If it weren't for this law, they would whine about something else. And yeah, to a certain degree, that's true. To a certain degree, that's true. I mean, I think the biggest issue that I've always had with this issue, well, the biggest issue that I've had with this topic is that we have a separation between church and state for a reason. We don't want people using their religious laws to enforce laws on folks who aren't adhering to said religion. So if I'm not a Christian, I should not be adhering to the laws of your religious leaning, right? And my government shouldn't be sanctioning that, right? So same thing with Sharia law. If someone steals, somebody would get their hand cut off. Like, we don't practice that. We lock folks up because of that. And even with marriages, even in the Bible, folks were selling goats. I would trade you my daughter for like 3 goats in the Bible. So, I mean, you know, to a certain degree, folks, they have their own ideas. I hope that Cam comes to a point in his life where he's like, you know what, man, the way I was thinking about that particular issue might have been a bit screwed up. But who's to say that, you know, who's to say he ever will, you know, hopefully he will. Hopefully that conversation kind of fostered that thought and fostered it and put that bug in his head to make him think about it. But everybody may not do it. And that's what we really at the end of the day. Unfortunately, that's what we're going to have to live with. Right. And then finally, Phenom Black writes in and says, oh, Lord, Rachel Dolefool email. Aren't her kids her adopted brothers? Yeah, man, that was when Taiwan wrote in to talk about Rachel Dolezal. But I appreciate you, Phenom and Candy, for writing in to the Spare Report and letting your voice be heard over on the YouTube video, man. But, yeah, man, it's time to get out of here. It's time to get out of here. And I got to let you guys, of course, know how you can get in touch with me here at the Spare Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Of course, you can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I will play those messages on the show and, of course, respond in kind. You can also hit me up on the email. My email, of course, is the email to the show is feedback@thespareport.com. That's feedback@thespareport.com. Leave me those emails. I will read those emails and play and respond to those here on the show. Of course, you can send me those ass hat submissions, the ass hat of the week submissions. I think I'm gonna nominate Faison Love this week. Faison Love will be the ass hat of the week this week. All right. But if you want to submit the ass hat of the week, send me an email at asshat@thespareport.com and we can get that popping. Send me a review. Give me a review on iTunes. Give me a review on Stitcher Radio. It really helps the show grow. It lets folks know what you're thinking. Preferably 5 stars. I will read those 5-star reviews on the show. And yeah, man, we'll chop it up like that. And for all of your Spare Report needs, go to thespareport.com, www.thespareport.com. All of the episodes, everything associated with the Spare Report, all of the guest spots that I've ever done on any other podcast can be made or can be seen. Everything is at thespareport.com. Everything. Everything. Everything you need is at thespareport.com. But yeah, man, I got to get out of here. It was fun. I got a lot off my chest. And tomorrow morning, if you guys are up early, I'll be on the Black Guy Who Tips podcast tomorrow morning. So me and Rod and Karen, we're going to chop it up a little bit. And they invited me on there, so it should be fun. But until then, I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.